they probably don't make your list of cute and adorable, but today's guest thinks that they are wonderful. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. I am Krissa Hewitt. Issues and Ideas continues now with Ears on Art, a twice-monthly program that my co-host Stephen DeLuque and I produce here at the studios of KCBX Public Radio for the California Central Coast. Ears on Art explores the visual arts, at least for the most part. But we really enjoy the crossovers and the intersections our guests often have with either a variety of art disciplines or with fields other than the arts. Today's guest, Heather O'Connor, that's spelled with three O's, without question exemplifies both of these aspects. On the painting and drawing side, she is a scientific illustrator and a pastel plein air artist. She is a scientist, with biology being of central focus. Her involvements in both are filled with passion and, in her mind, are inseparable. This month, we are highlighting two artists who are participating in the Open Studios Art Tour, sponsored by Arts Obispo. We'll tell you more about this countywide October event at the end of the program. Stephen and I take you now to her garage studio.
We are at the studio of Heather O'Connor here in Morro Bay. Good afternoon.
Hello. Nice to meet you here.
Hi, it's Krissa.
And we are here because Heather is a participant in the Open Studios Art Tour this year for the very first time. So how are you feeling?
I'm excited about it, and there are a lot of things that I'm learning how to do with the help of everybody else with Arts Obispo.
We try to make it easy on the newcomers.
Before you know it, you get to round two next year, and you just feel like you're a veteran, and everything comes really easily.
Yeah, it does get better every year.
Yeah. I did take both of the workshops, and they helped a lot. One of them was about Facebook. I'm going to put my pictures up there on my WordPress website, and that's some easy advertising.
One of the great things about Arts Obispo, they try to get as much of the social media involved as they possibly can and link to various different things and artists' websites and things like that to help promote it, because that's what their responsibility is. So tell us a little bit about your art history. When did you get started?
Actually, it started when my grandmother was having a birthday. My mother went to art school, the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, and she encouraged any kind of art. We always had a blackboard and chalk. But I always liked strange animals. So I found that there was a ruddy duck with a blue bill. So I made a picture of a ruddy duck for my grandmother. Then it was going to art school. I went to the Philadelphia Museum College of Art, which is now the University of the Arts. I went through for illustration. I always wanted to be a biologist, so I said, I'm not an artist. But I got the degree, and then I went back for biology as an adult. I like to draw animals, birds, plants, bugs.
Bugs.
Bugs. I took a course in scientific illustration, and that helped a lot. And I just combine whatever I learned with what I like to do now. I'm a detail person, and I like to do things that are exact and realistic. I made some binocular covers for the Pacific Coast Peregrine Watch. I have one that is monarch butterfly, and I just printed out a caterpillar so I can put that on the binocular cover. I've made some other binocular covers, which have become just wall hangings. Mm-hmm. People don't want to put them over their binoculars. They just want to hang them up and not hurt them. So I'm making hanging rods.
So this is a piece of leather that you have created this image on. So as a binocular cover, is it just kind of hanging over the open case to protect it? How does it work?
When you wear a pair of binoculars, if it's raining or dusty, a friend of ours, Jack Moorhead, told us that he put a piece of leather hanging over the binocular eyepieces. And my friend Bob Eisenberg said, well, why don't you put a bird on it? And I said, I can do that. I'm working on elk hide. I'm using acrylic paint, which is flexible enough to fit on a piece of leather. Then I ask people what kind of bird is their favorite bird, and I'll put that on. And I've had requests for cedar wax wings and cranes and great blue herons.
Other than doing the binocular covers, what kind of artwork do you do?
Because a lot of my work is very detailed, I decided to do a little cross training. I got myself a big box of soft pastels, which you cannot do detail with.
Oh, no.
And what I did was join the museum group that goes out painting on Thursdays. So I go plein air pastel painting. That's been a lot of fun. All I have to do is just say, what color is it? Go for the color that I think it is, and then I keep going until I have something that I'm somewhat pleased with.
And you say that you do detailed drawings of animals and things like that, and where do you sell them? Where do they go?
I haven't really sold them because I did a wasp, and I've exhibited it in Tucson at the Sonoran Desert Museum. And that was with the Guild of Natural Science Illustrators. The artwork that's more scientific is on the binocular covers. Or what I like to do is put an animal with a word. My son found a salamander in the creek when we lived in Carversville, Pennsylvania. And he brought it up to me, and he said, Mom, would you draw this? And I said, sure. So there is a drawing with the word red salamander with a salamander draped over it at my son's house in Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
You have the picture here of the caterpillar. Are you able to photograph? Is that how you're getting the images, or where are all of those coming from that you can do that kind of detail?
I trust photographers who do a better job than I do, so I use source material from the internet. Mm-hmm. We have a photographer, Cleve Nash, from the Pacific Coast Peregrine Watch. He's contributed a lot of photographs, so I've used some of his photographs.
You also mentioned that you're a docent for the elephant seal rookery up north. How is that? How did you get involved?
Actually, when I went to art school in Philadelphia in the mid-60s, what the anatomy drawing teacher said to do was go to the Philadelphia Zoo and draw animals. So I drew camels and birds and reptiles and anything that struck my curiosity. There was a very large pool with two seals in it. This was the mid-60s when they could bring all sorts of interesting animals in and it wasn't a problem. There was a sea lion. And there was a huge elephant seal. It was legal then to put them in zoos, to draw the public in. And I was mesmerized. I don't have a drawing of that elephant seal right now. It's gone. But it just stuck in the back of my mind. I like peculiar animals. And when I moved to Morro Bay 5 years ago, I had learned that there was a rookery at Piedras Blancas. So I went north and met some of the docents. And one of the people said, would you like to be a docent? Because I was really curious. I bought one of their elephant seal books, and I took the training in April 2011. I love being able to teach people about unique animals. I like to support people interested in biology. I like strange things. I worked on several Earthwatch projects. I went to Australia to study platypuses or platypi. I think platypuses is correct. I'm half biologist by desire and half illustrator artist. So combining those two things is pleasurable for me.
Can you give a version of a story that you like to tell visitors about elephant seals? Since a lot of the time, if we're looking at them, they're not doing very much except roaring or flicking sand on themselves.
No specific story. I like to just go for where people are curious. Some people know a little bit about them. Some people know nothing. We have a lot of international visitors. On Friday when I was there, there were several couples from Italy. There are people that come from Germany, Venezuela. I've had them from everywhere. If I don't speak the language, I pull out a book of photographs and I tell them what the sequence is. And I like to have them come back in January when it's really exciting, when you have the big males, mm-hmm. when you have the females giving birth, and you have these pups. And you hear different levels of barking. And the big males, the alpha males, have a very deep bark and trumpeting. The pups are very high-pitched, and the females are somewhere in between. I just like to tell people about how unique these animals are, that they live in the ocean 8 to 10 months of the year, and also they are fasting the total time that they're on the beach. Huh. So I like to point out the extremes. It helps them realize how important it is to take care of the oceans.
And it's a relatively new rookery. I think they first appeared about 20 years ago on the beach up there, and they had not appeared before that.
1990 is when they started coming. There was no boardwalk. I don't know exactly when the boardwalk came, but people said that they went down on the beach. They look docile, mm-hmm. but they are wild animals. They're unpredictable. You don't want to get near them. If you look at a photograph that I have in my album, there is a skull picture, and the teeth on a large male are about 4 inches long. And I said, look at the size of your calf, and you wouldn't want to get near that. I have called people back who have gone over the boardwalk railing, but I find that it's because they're really curious. The boardwalk is to protect people. So I just like meeting all the international visitors.
Mm-hmm. When they first appeared, I remember there was no fencing that kept them onto the beachside. And they used, especially the adolescent males, used to cross the highway and go into the pastures on the opposite side. And they had terrible problems with potential accidents.
There was a problem this past winter of one male breaking through the fence. I think there was a little conflict of interest on territorial space, and they had a hard time getting it back, but eventually they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the males are huge.
Yeah, they're about the weight of a pickup truck mm-hmm. or 2 tons. The pups are born at about 60 to 80 pounds, and in a month of nursing, they will quadruple their body weight.
It's amazing.
One of the elephant seal docents requested a binocular cover, and I made her a big male with a large proboscis. She was very pleased. It was for her husband, but she kept it. So, I have done humpback whales on binocular covers. A variety of animals is good for me.
You're listening to Ears on Art here on KCBX Public Radio. Our guest today is Heather O'Connor, who is both a scientific illustrator and a pastel plein air painter. She is a first-year participant in this year's Open Studios Art Tour, which takes place in October. We now return to our conversation with artist Heather O'Connor.
When I was in school, I had a really interesting typography teacher who taught us all about typefaces and the styles that they were using. I really didn't know anything about typefaces, but ever since that class, I liked doing some lettering and putting an animal with it. I would like to find a really iridescent beetle and find one that I could work on the brilliance of the color and put that into a picture.
What are your favorite animals to draw?
I like fish. I haven't done many of those lately. I will do birds for the Peregrine Watch. I like insects. It's about it. Mm-hmm. I will do anything. Because when you go to art school, you learn to draw. And anything you draw, you just practice, practice, practice. So we had a lot of nude models. And doing that for 4 hours at a time, many days a week. There's a life drawing group in Morro Bay on Friday mornings. And I joined that group and did a lot of nudes. Anything that's beautiful and challenging, might as well do it.
And if you're able to call elephant seals beautiful, then we know the range of that spectrum. I'm going to go back to the beginning when you talked about doing the birthday card for your grandmother. Her response?
I don't remember, but I know that my mother just loved it. And it's somewhere. I think it's in my sister's house in Pennsylvania. I have no idea where some of the artwork went.
Right.
I know that when I was in school in 10th or 11th grade, I did a white heron, common egret, and it turned out really well, and I was pleased. And I just kept going. I got praise for doing birds.
That's what I was assuming, was that there was some good feedback that came, because you said it kind of started then, even though you had been enjoying doing artwork, whether on the chalkboard or anything else, but this one was something that definitely got noticed, and you got noticed.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was a biological sciences major, and I did the illustrations for the lab manuals that they printed out. And that was always a great deal of fun to me, was, you know, like drawing dissection, cross sections and things like that. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. I thought it was a great fun thing to do.
It is. I volunteered at the Academy of Natural Sciences in Philadelphia. I always knew there was a link between biology and art, because people that are good observers of natural science often have to draw it. For if they're scientists, they're drawing diagrams. I had a lot of experience collecting insects for them and sorting them into orders, which I could do once I had the biology background that I went for as an adult. It just piqued my curiosity. Recently, I took an online course called Painting Sunlight, and I haven't had time to really start with it because I'm preparing for the Open Studios tour. But it was very interesting because it showed me how to bring the intensity of light into your drawings. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about color. It's about contrast, the lights and darks. So after the Open Studios tour, I'm going to go through all the internet programs that they put on, and I'll see what comes up. Mm-hmm. So anything you do that's different is like cross-training, whether it's drawing or printmaking or just walking. I've been walking out on the boardwalk at Bayside Cafe. There's a mm-hmm. long boardwalk mm-hmm. called the Marina Peninsula Boardwalk. I do that every morning just for exercise. But I've seen people kayaking out there. And I met a lady who takes her kayak out and sketches the marshes and the birds. And I'd like to do that too. I don't have a kayak, but walking there repeatedly, you see more things. You get to know an area. So with all the pickleweed, there are a lot of birds. I need to learn to identify some of the birds, the shore birds. I can identify some, but there's many, the peeps, the sandpipers are hard for me to distinguish. The great blue herons are easy. The willets are fine. I could put those in artwork when I come back.
So when I come to Open Studio here, I'm going to be able to see plein air work, right? Some
yes.
of the pastels. Uh-huh. Will there be some of the binocular covers out? What are you showing, I guess?
Okay. I have some binocular covers or wall hangings. I will do them on custom request, but I also have a series of pastels that I did for the Arboretum exhibit at Morro Bay Art Association. I like doing things that are in a series. So I have some really nice Cal Poly Arboretum pastel paintings. Of late, I said, I should do the Seven Sisters. Actually, they call them Nine Sisters. Mm-hmm. They keep adding peaks to this range of volcanic peaks. So I've been doing those, and I have some of those. Another series, since it's summertime, and in Morro Bay, it's a little overcast. They tell me it's a marine layer. It's fog. I lived on Barnegat Bay, New Jersey, and I know what fog is. And I decided I'm getting to like this because it's challenging to do a sketch of. But I have some clouds floating over the peaks. I have some steaming air rising off of the Morro Bay estuary. So that's been fun, and I have a series of about three or four of them, and I can continue. As long as it's hot inland, I'll be able to do that because the water's cold, the air's warm, and it flows. So I've enjoyed doing this. It's a peculiar event, but I like it. I like it.
My parents built a swimming pool when I was six or seven. One winter, we heated it because cousins were visiting. And so we had that wonderful thing of all the steam coming off the water, and then we'd be in there swimming and making up stories about being lost in the fog or whatever it was. So it's always a neat sight, I think, when you get that combination of atmospheric conditions going on.
I thought it was only in Pennsylvania when you had really cold air and the water was still warm. I didn't realize that you could have it here quite like that, but it's nice.
You mentioned the working with the falcons?
Peregrine falcons?
Yes, those birds.
It's important now that we have a big planet and so many people on it. We need to take care of it. And that's why I linked up with Bob Eisenberg, who does the Peregrine Falcon Watch. At one time, those birds were almost extinct. There were only two pairs in California, and they've come back, and the population is up to over 20 pairs in this county now. I know when I lived in New Jersey and visited the Coast Guard station at Barnegat Light, there was one peregrine falcon that came and started nesting. It was introduced. So it's just about taking care of the planet, the animals. I love seeing on the internet how people find new species in different areas, Southeast Asia. When I worked in the Academy of Natural Sciences, there was an ornithologist who found a new species of bird down in Venezuela. It's just, we have a lot to take care of. For a while, I lived on a cruising sailboat in the Bahamas and the Virgin Islands. And I didn't carry much art in the way of supplies. I had a few little sketchbooks. And whenever I traveled, before I got to California, my son moved to Colorado, so I had to find out what he was up to. Then I carried a sketchbook, as I did on the boat. And I have a series of sketchbooks with small sketches of locations. It's like a writer writing up a journal, but they're pictures for me. And I remember those places much better than when you take a photograph. For me, it doesn't do it. It's spending time, whether it's an hour or whatever. I use color pencils and watercolors, and I have them crammed into a little backpack, and it's very portable, and it's worked very well. So whenever I was exploring on my way to visit my son, I would stop on lakes or places that I camped and just continue adding to my sketchbook. I have about a dozen of them now. It's something that I started putting on my website, and eventually I'll put them all on my website, but it's a matter of time.
What are you expecting from Open Studios?
I'm looking forward to exhibiting with a friend of mine, Alice Broom. She's coming over because she once lived in Morro Bay, and she's exhibiting her paintings, their aerial views. And so I'll have a friend to hang out with me. I'm looking forward to showing my artwork and having people just become interested in looking at the natural science angle of it and enjoying the environment. There's so much to take care of. And I know when people look at art, they enjoy an environment really completely. If people come, enjoy the work, part of it, 25% will go to the Peregrine Watch. That's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. I'll give 25% to that group. It's just to come and enjoy the breadth of art and science.
I'd like to thank you very much. This has been very entertaining. I wish you the best of luck in Open Studios. This is my 13th year, so it's become old hat, and I think you're pretty much up there too.
Not quite at 13. I think I'm 9 or something, but it's, besides allowing people to see your work, it's the advantage that we get to meet people, actually in one situation made friends that were part of my life for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they have both died, but, real life-changing kinds of things in that way. And so when one is really interested in just sharing what you do, it comes back. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think you're going to have a great time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your coming, and I welcome all the visitors that find my way up the hill. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
You have been listening to Ears on Art here on KCBX Public Radio. In fact, this is the only station where you can hear it and many other locally produced programs. Our guest today has been Heather O'Connor, a Morro Bay artist who is both a scientific illustrator and a pastel painter. If you'd like to see some of her work, she can be found online at persimmonpress.org. Open Studios Art Tour takes place this year on October 8th and 9th, and the following weekend, October 15 and 16. All 4 days from 10 to 5. The event is free and takes place throughout San Luis Obispo County. If you're interested in obtaining the free catalog or getting more information, please go to artsobispo.org and they'll have the information on where catalogs are being distributed this year. There will be a few here at KCBX, along with the postcards that tell you where the other locations are. This is a truly amazing event. We hope that you will find some time to go visit any number of very creative people that live in this area. For Ears on Art, for co-host Stephen DeLuque, this is Krista Hewitt, thanking you so much for listening.